Casey Corcoran Podcast.
We don't know who won, but in this year's GOP primaries, it's safe to say some crazy mother won. Because the biggest race of the evening was the Missouri Senate primary between two equally fervent election deniers, state attorney general and furniture salesman who comes with the chair, Eric Schmidt, and former Missouri governor and last face you see before you die, Eric Greitens. Both of these guys are MAGA candidates, and both wanted the endorsement of former president Trader Tot. Establishment Republicans desperately wanted the former president to endorse Eric Schmidt because A, he was leading in the polls, and B, Eric Greitens resigned from the governorship in disgrace after serious sexual assault allegations. In fact, he's got so much baggage that Missouri Republicans are running attack ads against Greitens, their own candidate, in an attempt to secure the nomination for a less controversial Republican candidate. Yikers! How awful do you have to be these days to be cut loose by the Republicans? Plus being told you're too insane for the Manson family. I hate to break it to you, man. Charlie thinks you're making us look bad. Helter sorry. Yesterday morning, the former president had to decide on who to endorse. On one side, arguing in favor of Eric Schmidt, were people like RNC chair Ronna Romney McDaniel. And those folks were opposed by future daughter-in-law and real housewife of January 6th, Kimberly Guilfoyle. After facing pressure from all sides, the former president took a bold stand on Truth Social, typing, "I trust the great people of Missouri on this one to make up their own minds, much as they did when they gave me landslide victories in the 2016 and 2020 elections, and I am therefore proud to announce that Eric has my complete and total endorsement." Oh, how clever. Bravo. He couldn't decide, so he gave it to both of them. Just like his marriage vows. Therefore, I do solemnly pledge my complete and total loyalty to woman.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Thursday, August 4th, 2022, 100 days remaining in our American democratic system of government, as we have known. How are you doing, kids? You are JCOnTheLine.com. Second day in a row, I am playing hurt. We were out very, very late last night. Very, very late. It was Daryl Hall from Hall & Oates and Todd Rundgren in concert last night. Now, Todd opened the show, and he was fantastic. His voice is just amazing. The guy is, well, I wonder how old Todd Rundgren is. How old is Todd Rundgren?
Todd Rundgren is 74 years old.
I mean, I remember my grandfather was 72 when he died, and he looked like he was 172. And Todd Rundgren is out there dancing around on stage and just getting it done, and his voice was magnificent. Now, he has taken a lot of the texture out of his voice. You know, Elton John, I don't see Elton John anymore because he just does that baritone thing, and he's singing from his diaphragm, and all of the expression that was in his voice in his first half a dozen albums has been gone for years, and he just has that husky baritone. And it doesn't bother a lot of people. It bothers me. Billy Joel still is able to put a lot of the texture into his voice when he performs live. Todd Rundgren was up there singing almost like a Broadway singer, but it was good. It was really good, and he played almost all of his good songs. He didn't play Can We Still Be Friends. He did not play Bang on the Drum. But it was a good opening act. And then Daryl Hall comes out, and I think he sang 9 songs before he played anything that anybody had ever heard of. And he finally got to Sarah Smile. And when they did Sarah Smile, they elongated it, and they did about a 10-minute version of it, very jazzed up and everything. And then they saved everything for the last 7 songs, but still didn't play Rich Girl, for example. But Todd came back out for that encore for about the last 5 songs, and it was pretty magnificent. It was pretty damn cool. They went out big. They went out big. Now, I'd had a glass of wine and some chicken wings before the show. And then I had a glass of wine when we actually got to the venue, like during the first couple of songs of Todd Rundgren. And then when Daryl Hall came out, it got to a point where he's probably a dozen or so songs into his show, and I knew from the set list that there were going to be 2 or 3 songs in a row that I wasn't crazy about, and also a lot of new stuff. So my wife and I went out to the lobby to track down some more wine. And, you know, you're feeling good. You're feeling good. You've already had a couple of glasses of wine, got a couple of chicken wings in your belly, and you've been properly herbed up before the show. And so when the bartender, who's just all smiles and friendly and a very, very nice woman, says, "Well, you want wine? Sure. What kind of wine do you want? Oh, a nice Cabernet would be good. Okay, sure. Would you like to make that a double?" And you're just feeling good, and you're like, "Yeah, make it a double." And then they hand you the cup and the bill for $40. Those doubles were $20 a piece. I was thinking about buying a Todd Rundgren t-shirt for $35, but not after I got the bill for the wine. During the show, we got a text from my father-in-law up in Hazelwood who said, "The power's out." And again, that was pretty serious rain again last night. And to the south of us, you go like south of Festus, all the way down to places like Farmington and all the way into the Boot Heel. It's still raining, and there are going to be more flooding issues. You may have some yourself. There were places where just last night alone got 3, 4, 5 inches of rain. It's getting nuts. It's getting crazy. Uh-oh, what's Laura yakking about here?
I'm tracking all those wet roadways, a lot of slick spots.
Wrong one, hold
on. The south, they're actually forming backwards. They're backfilling, if you will, this line of showers and a few thunderstorms, too. Now, it's not as heavy as it was for the most part last night, and yeah, certainly not
to
as
the,
widespread.
To the south of St. Louis, it's still coming down like crazy. Everything basically south of 44, it's still raining. That goes all the way into Illinois, too. South of 64, places like, you know, Mount Vernon, stuff like that, still raining. Litchfield. And again, sometimes when I'm doing the podcast, I hesitate to talk about, for example, weather conditions, because some of you are not listening to the podcast anywhere near the time that I'm recording it. I think a lot of people, most people, from what we're able to tell, the diagnostics are listening, 7:30, 8 o'clock, stuff like that. But some people don't get a chance to listen to it till at night. So the fact that it's, you know, still raining in Kirkwood right now doesn't make a lot of sense to be talking about, because it doesn't affect those people. Anyhow, washed out the Cubs-Cardinal game last night, so they will do a day-night doubleheader, 12:15 and 6:45 out at Busch Stadium, and it looks like it's going to be okay for those games. And then the Yankees come to town. Say what you want about the Yankees, but when they come to town, man, hard to get a ticket. Hard to get a ticket for that weekend series. But it's going to be hot. Speaking of hot, I have this thing for Allie Raceman. She's one of the Olympic gold medalists. I just find her, in addition to being very attractive, I just find her appealing because she's extremely intelligent, very articulate. And you put that together with those looks. And I know I sound like a pervert to be talking about a 27-year-old girl, but I'm sorry. I can't control myself. I find her incredibly appealing, and she's so classy about everything, mature beyond her years, and I always think to myself, that's really, really an attractive woman there, and attractive in both physical ways and then also in terms of her personality, aesthetically, and stuff like that. Fantasize all you want, JC, but, you know, you're never going to see her in a, there she is, naked for Sports Illustrated. Now, she's face down, but not wearing a top, so you just sort of see some side boob action, and then she has a thong on. And those of you who've been listening to me for a long time know that I am agnostic, but this this event here is making me rethink that maybe there is a God. My prayers have been answered. Now, speaking of hot athletic women, I think Danica Patrick is one of those kind of women. And when you watch this Aaron Rodgers thing, you're like, all right, long-term relationship with Danica Patrick sort of mysteriously just falls apart. On to Olivia Munn. Again, quality material here, quality material, Olivia Munn. That falls apart. Then Shailene Woodley, at least in this case, they, you know, managed to get a ring together on that thing, and it looked pretty serious. And then that breaks up. And you find yourself saying, maybe the problem isn't with the women, maybe the problem is with the guy. And now this morning it turns out, the story has surfaced, that Aaron Rodgers says psychedelic drugs helped his mental health and his relationship with the Packers. Now, there's a story buried in there somewhere, but I don't have time to read it right now. That boy's got some shit going on. I'll just leave it at that. Major League Baseball paid tribute to Vin Scully yesterday with a league-wide moment of silence during the game. Of course, it didn't happen at Busch Stadium because it got rained out. And speaking of football, we just were a moment ago, the NFL Hall of Fame game tonight on NBC, Jacksonville at the Raiders. In fact, yesterday, the preseason rankings came out. And here you go. Let's see where Jacksonville is. 29 out of 32. Las Vegas, 18 out of 32. Here are the top 10 in ascending order. Cincinnati at number 10. New England, the Chargers, Baltimore at 7. Packers at 6. Dallas, Kansas City, Tampa Bay at 3. Los Angeles Rams at number 2. Wait a minute. The Super Bowl champions are only number 2. Who's number 1? Go Bills! Right, Marv Levy, former coach?
Go Bills, for we are here to cheer for you. Go Bills, we are your fans so true. With victory in sight, we'll yell with all our might. So go Bills, fight, Bills, go! Come on, let's win for Buffalo.
Very nice job there,
Mark. Go, Bills. We're with you. Fight, Bills. We're
sorry,
with you.
There's
go,
more,
Bills.
But not today.
Let's win this game.
That's one of my favorite recordings because somebody wrote a Buffalo Bills fight song, and they handed it to Marv Levy, the head coach at the time, and all the people in the office and everything. And then they brought them out, and they started recording, and everybody just sort of stood there with their song sheet in their hands, but they didn't really sound like they were into it. It reminded me of the scene in Office Space where everybody has to sing Happy Birthday to Lumberg, and everybody was like, Lumberg. I don't do stories about the Kardashians unless it's really something that pins the meter. I don't do stories about Miley Cyrus. I'm making an exception in this case, and it's not really about her. It's more about the concept that I'm about to relate to you. So yesterday, it was like Miley Cyrus in red hot bikini shots. She just sizzles in her new red swimsuit. And I'm thinking to myself, we've seen every square inch of this girl, including the naughty parts, for years now. Some of the pictures bordered on gynecological in nature. And I always laugh when, you know, Heidi Klum does this too. It's like sizzling red hot swimsuit shot. Well, we've already seen her with her top off and her butt hanging out. How could the pictures of all of the naughty parts now being covered up be more interesting or be interesting at all once we have actually seen the goods? Never mind. Never mind. In this date, 1992, I made my debut on KMOV TV. Now, I had worked at Channel 5 for like 5 years, and then they brought in a news director, this little squirrel who had a tick, by the way, this little squirrel head named Cliff. Clifford. When's the last time you met any, they say, what's that name? When's the last time you ever met anybody whose name was Cliff, who was cool? I think you make the argument it's never happened. Your parents give you the name Cliff, you are destined to have a life of blandness. Oh, this guy thought he knew everything. And, you know, guys come in and they figure, well, I'm going to really impress the home office in Yahoo, Nebraska. I'm going to figure out ways to cut the budget. See what I did here? I came in as a news director. You put me to work and I figured out a way to save money. We made these cuts. And he never understood what I was doing in the newsroom. He didn't get it. He didn't know my history. He didn't know how many people I brought in to that television station because of the fact that we had a number one radio show at the time. He just didn't get any of that. And one day I just walked in and he said, you know, your history. And my only consolation was that big Bill Bolster, the guy who was the general manager of the station, came downstairs, looked at the memo on the wall and said, well, that was stupid. But, you know, you can't overrule the guy. So, you know, that was it. So I was off the air for, I don't know, a year or so. And I was approached by Channel 4, and I was like, sure. Well, I ended up there for, what, 7 years? But it started on this date in 1992. There's a lot of stuff in the state. I was in Los Angeles for a movie called Air America. Not a particularly good movie. A real stinker, as a matter of fact. But I got to talk to Mel Gibson and some other people. On this date, 1989, you know, they have most of these film junkets, they call them, in New York and Los Angeles. You hop on a plane, you go see the movie, interview the stars, you come back, you put the interviews on TV. But in this particular case, since the movie was called Heart of Dixie, another pretty crummy movie, but it had Virginia Madsen in it. Now, a lot of people didn't really discover Virginia Madsen until the movie Sideways, and is absolutely ravishing and adorable and attractive and appealing and sexy as she was in Sideways. She did a lot of movies before that, a lot of B movies where she had her shirt off. And let me just tell you something. It was something to write home about. And then Ally Sheedy from The Breakfast Club and the whole Brat Pack, she was in the movie too. And at that time, she was fat. And I mean, she was really starting to pork out. And the next time I saw her was like a year later, and it looked like she dropped about 60 pounds. She was bones at that point. I don't know how she did it. I don't know. I would like to find out, because as I pointed out to you in the recent weeks, I was fine during the pandemic. Didn't gain a pound. Pandemic over, ended up putting on 9 pounds, which I'm still in the process of trying to lose right now. On this date, 1993, following my untimely departure from 93.7 KSD, the classic rock station back then, and a short, and I mean very short, stint at KMOX, I resurfaced at something called WFXB. And if that doesn't sound familiar, that's okay, because it was called the Fox, and it had a crummy signal. And not until they moved the broadcast tower closer to St. Louis and changed the name of the radio station to The River, that's when you actually started hearing about it. But, you know, people always like to talk about the easy target. And the easy target is some guy or some woman on the radio who rocks the boat like I do and sometimes gets in trouble, and, you know, they suspend you and they, you know, they get your name in the paper for all the wrong reasons, and eventually they get rid of you and all this sort of stuff. Well, you know, they forget to tell you that when they hire you, they tell you, well, we want you to rock the boat. The whole point is to get noticed, especially when you're a new station. It's very, very important that you get noticed. Even if people notice you and don't like you, it's still good, because there's never been a connection between, and this is hard for people to understand, my last radio station, they didn't understand this either, that just because people complain about you does not mean they stop listening. That's I know it sounds counterintuitive, but it is true. You know how Rush Limbaugh got to be as big as he was? He got to be, and I don't mean size-wise and weight, I'm talking about his career, because the people who loved him listened to him, but the people who hated him listened to him too. I mean, this goes all the way back to, like, you know, Howard Cosell. It's really funny when people call radio stations to complain about me. It's really funny because they say, well, what did he do? What did he say? And then the caller will be like, well, last week he did this. And then a month ago he did this. And 6 months ago he did this. And the general manager, if they're smart, and they rarely are, but if they're smart, they say, well, that's fascinating, because, see, our job is to get listeners. And you're telling me that you can't stand the guy, but you're telling me everything he's done for the last 6 months, meaning you are listening. So do you understand what my conundrum is? The guy who's running the radio station? That happens all the time. It's hilarious. But that radio station, The River, oh my God, had a very, very rough start. The first 2 years did not go smoothly. They brought in this guy from Los Angeles and put him in charge of the radio station. But he was pretty much running The Point, which was right across the hall. He had given our station, The River, he had handed off to his side action. He had a wife and kids in Los Angeles, but he was boinking the midday girl. And in exchange for the boinks, she got to run the radio station. And she was out like every night getting free shit from the record companies, free meals, free tickets to stuff, free merchandising, all that sort of stuff. And the result of those freebies was the quid pro quo. We ended up playing all this ridiculous music. You're like, what the fuck are we putting on the air here? Some chick by the name of Michelle Shocked and a band called The Swinging Stakes. Do you remember where you were when you heard that The Swinging Stakes got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Yeah, they didn't. But and then on Tuesday, you know, we had the Two for Tuesday thing. Not only are you playing The Swinging Stakes, you're playing two songs back-to-back by The Swinging Stakes. I'm thinking to myself, well, there's 10 minutes where people have tuned out of the show. And all of this, messing with our careers, our popularity, we get bonus money for ratings performance. If the ratings go up on your show, you get money for that. And how are you supposed to do that when somebody says, here, play two songs back to back by The Swinging Stakes? All of this so that the program director, who's 2,000 miles away from his family in Los Angeles, can get blowjobs in St. Louis. Oh, it's a great business. It's a great business. On this date, 1985, we did the unauthorized banner contest. I was at Casey at the time, and we're like, they won't let us participate in the Cardinals thing. There was a general manager there by the name of Fred Kuhlman. Fred Kuhlman was one of those guys who looked like he was about 150, and he looked like he hadn't taken a shit since the Eisenhower administration. This guy was so uptight, and they blocked me and my radio station pretty much out of everything we wanted to do as far as the Cardinals were concerned. So I said, okay, fine. We're going to do a banner contest. It is unauthorized. And the Cardinals realized, geez, you know, there's really no way we can stop him, is there? And so like I told everybody to do, the bottom of the sixth inning, take out your banners and display them proudly. We are going to pick one out that we like. We're going to find you in the crowd, and we're going to give you free shit. We made Ernie Hayes play Louie Louie, but they turned the volume way down on the organ. But we did it. We absolutely did it. And on this date in 1984, I'd only been with the radio station a couple of months, the summer of 84, and it seemed to me like things were going pretty well. Everywhere John and I went, we were mobbed by fans of the show, and you could just feel, you could feel the electricity every day when you turned on that microphone. You could just tell me the phone lines were just totally lit up. If I did an appearance somewhere, there were like 400 people there. It was unbelievable. And it just looked like everything was going great. You remember that scene in Goodfellas where Joe Pesci thinks they're going to make him a made man? And he comes walking into the room, and there's nobody there. And he realizes, oh, shit. And they shoot him in the head. Well, that was my Joe Pesci moment. Hey, we'd like to have lunch with you. Okay, fine. Where? Oh, we'll do it at the Viking down there in Crestwood. Okay, fine. And I come walking into the room. There's nobody there except my two bosses. And I notice that in the center of a giant conference room table, and this thing was, you know, enormous. And right in the middle of the table is one of those Marantz cassette players. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? I come walking in, and they're like, just, you know, relax, relax. What do you want for lunch? I'm like, steak sandwich. What is going on? Guys, we want to play something for you. Like, all right. I have no idea what's about to happen. No idea at all. Why are they going to play me something? Why all the drama? Why am I in a room that's designed for like 50 people and it's just three of us? And they push the button on the player, and the tape that I sent them to get the job like 6 months earlier, that starts playing. And, you know, it's about maybe 4 minutes long. And about a minute into it, I just push the stop button. I go, okay, fine. It's the audition tape that I sent you guys to get this job. What? Why are we listening to this? They're like, that's who we hired. I'm like, I don't know what you mean. Well, they're like, the show you're doing is not, it doesn't sound like this. Well, you sent us this tape, and that's who we hired, and the show you're doing right now doesn't sound like this tape. I was like, well, yeah, because that was Buffalo, and this is St. Louis, and the circumstances are completely different. And in some cases, maybe something I was doing in Buffalo sounded a little too close to something that somebody else was doing on another radio station in St. Louis, and you don't want to be accused of copying somebody, so you have to eliminate that. And you listen to the other stations in the market, and you sort of get the feedback from the listeners, and you make adjustments. Just because I did a show a certain way in Buffalo, that doesn't mean you can just take that show and drop it in St. Louis, and now it works. That's not how it works. You have to play to the market. And I'm doing the homina, homina, homina. And I left that meeting and I went home. And I still remember to this day, I called a radio station in Houston, Texas, KLOL. And I saw that they had a job opening. I was like, I think I'm going to need a gig, because I figured obviously they're going to whack me here. But that was on August 4th. And somehow I lasted another month, which was good. Because in September, the summer ratings came out. And it was the first rating book that came out with me on the morning show. And we had more than doubled the morning show ratings, on our way to eventually tripling what had been there before. And guess what? They didn't complain anymore. But it's sort of remarkable to think about, because whatever I turned into in St. Louis for the last 38 years came really close to not happening. Because, like I said, I thought I was getting whacked that day. All right, birthdays today. Meghan Markle, who I think is very, very cute. She's so cute. I don't understand why people hate her. She's 41. Roger Clemens, 60. Barack Obama, 61. Billy Bob Thornton, 67. Series premiere of Mike Judge's Beavis and Butthead on Paramount Plus today. Jimmy Fallon tonight, Joel McHale, James Taylor on with Colbert. He's been on all week. And LL Cool J on with Seth Meyers, who is now back after getting COVID again. Dirty Dancing, released on this date back in 1987, 35 years ago today. And UPS, United Parcel, being criticized for, quote, sending workers out to die, end quote, in hot trucks, as those trucks don't have any air conditioning. The people at Apple said, hey, workers shouldn't die in hot trucks without air conditioning. They should die on the assembly line and get kidney infections because we don't let them pee. What a wonderful, wonderful world. And with that, that's the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Thursday, August 4th, 2022. 100 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. We're here every weekday morning just after 7 o'clock. You may email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com, on Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. Stay cool. Stay dry. Stay safe. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.